Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
That's about... You gotta put it in perspective.
It's time to laugh again!
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God.
Oh, yeah. And a cheer.
Yeah.
Woo!
Oh.
Woo! I'm a man!
Yes!
This is good.
Smell it.
Yeah! Whoa!
Yeah.
Go for it!
Mm-hmm.
Yeah!
Oh, God.
It's excellent!
Yeah!
So good.
And now.
Still punching the clock, huh?
With all the romance, a two lumberjacks chopping wood. Thank God for KY.
Our feature presentation.
It was odd.
I'm not sure who that was.
That was you.
Right.
Right.
And... was you in the mashup, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, that was the guy who had surgery and was under anesthesia.
Oh,
in,
right.
In a hospital.
Yeah.
I think they were, he broke his, dislocated his leg. Remember, they put his leg back in and they pumped him all up full of juice and he was having the time of his life.
I need some of that juice. Procedure.
Yeah.
I know, right?
Sounds good.
Apologies for not remembering, sir.
Look, you've been with a lot of people,
right? I have.
It's kind of hard to keep
you're right.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Monday, the 19th of June.
So the show ended at just before 10 on Friday.
Right.
And I assume our team of engineers and maintenance people immediately just swarmed the studio and got up on ladders and replaced all of those lights and set them all up just right so that we could see this morning when we came into work, right?
Oh, you're referring to the fact that we can't see in here?
The fact that we're still working in a cave?
And that Friday morning when we showed up, it was this dark?
Uh-huh.
And then you think, this is cute, right? You think someone fixed it.
Well, I mean, they had all day Friday.
And right.
And it would have just been, it wouldn't have just affected our show. I mean, you know, everybody who works after us, your Cat, your Striker, and your
right.
Nicole,
uh-huh.
Those people all need to see as well. None of the air staff at K-Rock are blind. So we're all actually using our eyes to do our jobs.
Right.
So I would think that somebody would say, hey, how about a little light in here? And then that would be done.
You are adorable.
Do I not know how it works?
Not so much to any of that, really.
How is it still this dark?
It seems darker, to be quite honest.
I think
honest.
It is, too.
Yeah.
I think it's darker than it was Friday.
Unbelievable.
Is it just that are light bulbs just burning out?
Oh, no, it's not the light
bulbs. Can't replace them?
It's the actual wiring in the wall that they spackled over and did all that. It's internal.
Mm.
This won't be done ever.
So it's on faders, and you can't fade it up any higher.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Did they do any more work at all?
Not that I can tell.
No.
Okay.
Looks
no.
dirtier.
Yeah, they did add dirt.
Yeah.
All right.
That's good.
They brought in some dirt.
I like it. I like it very much. Hey, before we get started on today's show, we got a lot of good stuff on the program. Let's do a little How Does the Story End, shall we?
All right.
How does the story end, my friend? Friend. Does the story end?
Stephen Haynes is the patient's name. He lives in Pennsylvania. And he, in 2013 is when the surgery was. The lawsuit was in 2014. Had an orchiectomy gone wrong.
A what?
An orchiectomy. Any clues as to what that might be?
When you're impaled in an orchard.
All right. That's an excellent guess. Kevin, you want to take a stab at orchiectomy?
No, I'm with her. That sounds
it's when you have your testicle removed.
Oh.
He went to his urologist complaining of persistent pain in his right testicle. An ultrasound revealed that the testicle had atrophied with scarring and damage from a previous injury. So he had the orchiectomy, the surgical removal of the testicle, to alleviate the pain. And it was successful. So what's the problem here? Well, the bad news is the doctor removed the wrong testicle in the surgery.
Oh, that doesn't happen anymore.
Oh. Yeah, you hear those stories about the wrong leg or the wrong eye or whatever, and the doctor's supposed to, or isn't somebody supposed to go in and like put your
initials
on the body part or something? So that can't happen, right?
Yeah, that can't happen anymore.
So he filed a lawsuit in 2014, by the way, a medical malpractice lawsuit against the surgeon and the doctor. 4 years later, just last week, a Pennsylvania jury reached a verdict. I'm asking you all, how does the story end? What is losing a testicle worth?
Wait, but you said that they removed the testicle and he was fine, pain was relieved?
They removed the wrong testicle.
But you said before that.
I'm not sure I'm following what story you're hearing.
You said they removed the testicle, it was fine.
The surgery went fine, yes. But they removed the wrong testicle, so he still is in pain from the right testicle. He has no left testicle. And not only is he still in pain from the right testicle, but he has not had that, has not taken that to surgery because now what? He doesn't want to be without both testicles. So he's just living with the pain.
How does the story end?
Well, that changes my view.
Yeah, so he basically went in there, and he'd have to have lifelong testosterone replacement therapy if he lost his other testicle. So he has just decided to live with the pain.
Oh, gosh.
So, yeah, and one down and one hurt. So you're on that jury, by the way, which I believe, if I remember, was 11 women and one man. If this helps you, they deliberated for an hour and 20 minutes.
Okay.
Before siding with the plaintiff. So he win money. I'm asking you how much.
I would say... $2 million, $1 million per testicle.
All right, $2 million from that pain in the orchard when he got impaled.
I'm going to say $5 million.
Oh,
wow! Very generous juror, Kevin is.
Thank you.
Allie's a little closer. It was $870,000 was the verdict and $250,000 in punitive damage, making a grand total of $1,120,000.
Huh.
By the way, Mr. Haynes' attorney, Braden Lapisto, reached out to me over the weekend.
What?
He is a longtime Kevin and Bean listener. Lived in Agoura Hills for much of his life and now practices law in Pennsylvania and still enjoys the podcast each day. So
congrats on the ball money.
Right. Brayden says it would be a big thrill to be featured on your opening story one morning.
Good work with the ball.
Now he is. So there you go. So
I think he could have gotten more, don't you?
He seems like a lazy lawyer.
Well, I'm not saying that. I'm saying imagine if it was your foot or your leg or something like that. I think you'd get more. But the ball, that does a lot, that thing. Down there.
I think it's a lot easier to live with one testicle than it is to live with one foot, though, Alan.
Well, you tell that to that testicle. Maybe you really like that testicle. That testicle, it does a lot. It gives you all the testosterone to the body. It keeps you manly.
But don't angry at things
real quick.
But don't a lot of it makes you write mean things to women on the internet?
Yes. Makes you say actually a lot? We need that ball.
Don't a lot of people have one testicle for whatever reason, for cancer or whatever, or injury? I would think you can live a pretty normal life.
But he went there specifically to get it fixed and they did the opposite of that.
Yeah.
Right. Well, they're paying for it.
Barely, though. I'm saying this lawyer's weak.
Yeah, he got a big cut.
So $5 million or nothing is what you're saying.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Yes.
Absolutely. That's how the story
ends. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
I'd love to get a copy of that.
We've got your tickets for WWE Raw. We have RJ Bell, who's going to talk to us about the Mayweather-McGregor fight and how you can make money gambling. Alex Jones was on TV last night with Megyn Kelly.
Ooh.
He's something. That guy is something.
Yeah.
He's a nut job.
You think? Harvey Levin from TMZ, like we do on Mondays. We have a Thanks for That Info Bean coming up.
Oh, come on.
About 20 minutes from now.
How dare you.
And K-Rock's Road Trip 2017 destination number 3 is the Kaboo Festival in San Diego. And that's Red Hot Chili Peppers and Muse and Garbage and Weezer. Yeah. It's a great festival. So that's coming up this morning as well. We will take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
Kevin and Bean.
You guys suck. Both you guys suck.
LA and OC's alternative rock, K-Rock.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, LA to...
Hey!
Thanks. All right, now we can go.
LA and OC's alternative rock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53.
Hey, Ruff Garman.
Hey, Bean Baxter.
You missed it. Kevin was recapping for us during the 30 Seconds to Mars song, the big night at the ballpark for the Galaxy, for Kevin's Night at the Galaxy.
Right. How did that
and
go?
He was very excited. The good team managed to tie.
Oh, awesome. That's so exciting.
Which is what you want on Kevin's Night at the stadium, right?
It's more exciting in sports, really. That's for sure. Just a big, exciting tie.
I mean, you'd rather have a point. You get a point for that, so you'd rather
awesome.
Have a point.
I get a point.
Right?
What a well-earned point. That whole exercise was not futile at all. But I got a point in it. Everything ended in a tie.
And the Galaxy was behind all the way
exciting,
to the very last
right?
second.
Yes. To the last second, very then they exciting, scored. Right? So that's more exciting.
Yay, we tied it up. Let's go home.
We're that's just as good as the other team.
We tied it up. Okay, is that good enough for you? Yep, it's good enough for me, too. Let's hit the showers because we have achieved a tie. That's sports at its finest.
This has been Tie Talk. It's Monday morning, 5:54. Time for a first look at the Showbiz Beat with Ralph. What's going on?
Why don't they fix that?
I don't think they think it needs to be fixed.
They're wrong.
Okay.
Whoever they are, the soccer council needs to reevaluate because it'd be better if it didn't end in a tie.
I agree
That's
with you.
That's just a fact.
I agree with
it's
you.
It's science.
Yeah.
I mean, we hate it when it happens in football, when it happens like once a season.
When it happens ever in anything.
Yeah.
It's because it's bad. There should,
you
if
really
there's a contest, if there's an athletic contest between two factions, one should emerge victorious.
I mean, that makes sense.
I think that's reasonable.
I do, too.
When you say it that way, it makes sense.
Right. So call up the National Council of Soccer Balls and have them reevaluate.
I don't have their number.
Well, I'll get it for you.
Just look up the NCSB. It's right there in the phone book, Kevin.
While you're busy sitting there in the big fenced off Kevin section, you should have had a conversation with someone. When they ended the tie, you should have grabbed one of their fat heads by the tie and just pulled them down to your face and said, hey, listen, you fathead, this will not stand. You should have thrown your watered down beer in his fat face.
It's quite the night he had for you.
Oh, really? Right.
A lot of
you
excitement.
Tell him. Ties.
I mean, it's better than a loss.
Yes.
All right.
Yes, that's absolutely true.
That's all I got.
Now hiring both locations.
Right?
Well, they should open a third location. That's what I'm saying. Hey, movies are good.
Right?
People like to go to them.
Uh-huh. Yep.
So on Mondays, we like to take a look and see what movies they went to. Turns out everybody went to see Cars 3. That was the big Father's Day weekend winner with $53.5 million. Overpowering Wonder Woman for the first week since she was released, but still did pretty well for herself. $40.8 million made her number two.
Wow.
Still.
Yeah, people still going. Well, it's a great film. Apparently, Cars 3 is terrific, too. Friends of mine who went to see it said it's better than the first Cars 2. First Cars and Cars 2 also as well. All eyes on me. The Tupac story debuted with $27.1 million, making it number three. The Mummy was fourth. 47 Meters Down debuted with $11.5 million. That was fifth. Then Pirates of the Caribbean, Rough Night, Captain Underpants, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, and It Comes at Night. Those are your top 10 films at the box office. You know who wasn't happy with All Eyes on Me? Jada Pinkett Smith.
Why? Why?
Well, she famously had a red-hot romance with Tupac Shakur before his death. And she did not like the way her relationship was depicted in that film. She went through a series of tweets on Friday claiming the film did not portray their relationship correctly. Forgive me. She started, my relationship to Pac is too precious for the scenes in All Eyes on Me to stand as the truth. The reimagining of my relationship to Pac has been deeply hurtful. Then she went on to list the things in the film that apparently never happened, things she didn't like. So, she's not happy. To which I would respond, why don't you look after your kids, see what they're into, before you start worrying about this. Because one of your kids running around in a white Batman costume, looking like a douchebag.
That does seem like a more pressing problem.
Absolutely.
Bigger issues.
And this made me sad. Actor Stephen First passed away. Played Flounder, of course, in the movie Animal House. Died Friday, we found out after the show, from complications from diabetes. He was just 63 years old today.
Ouch.
Not today, rather. Just 63 years old. His sons, Nathan and Griffin, posted the news on his Facebook page. And he was a very talented guy. Did tons of guest roles and small parts in other movies. He was also Dr. Axelrod on Insane Elsewhere for 6 seasons. He was terrific on that series. He was a good actor and, by all accounts, a terrific guy and father and filmmaker. And he will be missed. So, sad news. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Macklemore. He's 34 today. Ah, Macklemore. Right?
Right.
Zoe Saldana's 39. Paula Abdul's 55 years old today. She is a gift.
I'm tired of people not treating me like the gift that I am. It's hurtful and it stinks. And it takes everything out of me to smile and be jovial.
Sorry.
When Paula. I'm being screwed.
Yeah, you are a gift.
Dynamic.
You are
right?
A gift.
And she's on that tour right now, right? With New Kids on the Block and Boys to Men.
Yeah.
Out there for the first time in 20 years or something, she's out on the road.
I'm a gift tour.
Okay.
Today is a gift. That's why it's called a present. The present.
Yep.
It's close.
Yeah. Well, it's like a tie.
Close enough.
It's better than one.
Janky. Exactly.
Poppy Montgomery's 42 years old today. Robin Tunney's 45. Kathleen Turner is 63. Oh, Kathleen Turner. No, I won't go there. She seems like a nice lady. Vanessa Martinez is 38 years old today. Hugh Dancy is 42. Actor Hugh Dancy.
Love him.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? Because of all those dances he does?
Not a dancer as much as he's just a great actor.
He's
great actor,
Hugh Dancy.
Yeah.
No it's one's just, dancier.
It's just his name.
We'll have to agree to disagree on this one. Felicia Rashad, 69 years old. And Mia Sara.
I'm not familiar with
Mia Sara. Yes, you are.
Who's Mia Sara?
I'll remind you with one musical phrase.
Okay.
Bow, bow, chicka-chicka.
Interesting. Oh, she was the female star of Ferris Bueller's Day Off?
Wow. You have a kiss for Daddy?
She's Sloan. Married to someone famous. Who's she married to?
Bow, bow,
okay. Chicka-chicka. So you're not going to... I remember being shocked that she was married to this person. Let me just look it up. Keep going.
Life moves pretty fast.
Yeah.
You'll pay attention. You could miss it.
She was married to Brian Henson.
Is who she's married to.
Bow, bow, chicka, chicka.
Brian Henson.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Creature shop, just building stuff. Hey, I'm like my dad.
Oh, yeah. Bow, bow, chicka, chicka.
Okay.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
The Kevin and Bean Show. Mornings on K-Rock.
You represent the absolute worst.
LA and OC's alternative. Rock. Carol Q.
First, thanks for that info, Bean.
Woo-hoo. Come on.
And thanks for that info, Allie.
Oh, yay! No. Hold on.
Oh, Bean is not alone any longer.
I was on board.
Oh, it's fun when it's somebody else,
well,
huh, Allie?
Like a turn.
No, Bean has company.
So here's what happens. We're playing records. We're playing commercials. You guys get to hear great songs. And right. We have to listen to Bean try to start conversations.
Yep.
Or not. Just say things. And now Allie has joined him.
Well, she, Bean, would. Wouldn't she?
Yes, she would. Yes,
okay,
she
now,
would.
I don't know what you're going to throw at us here. But can I just
I wrote it down word for word is what I'm going to throw at you.
But I can I just say, in the girl's defense and in my defense as well, which is nobody wants to live in the dystopian hell that is Kevin's work environment, which is nobody's allowed to speak unless spoken to.
I talk to Kevin all the time about stuff.
So
it's called conversations.
Right.
Right.
Because I'm able to identify things that people don't care about versus things people do care about.
But sometimes you want to bring up new topics.
Yeah.
Let's explore, shall we?
So I'm going to go first, and I'm going to do Bean, and
all
then...
Right.
I should say that differently. And then Ralph's going to go next, and he's going to read Allie's.
Right.
Oh, okay? No.
Yes.
So this is Bean's first Thanks for That Info. Bean, we're not talking about, we're not discussing it. And by the way, we don't need any explanation, further explanation. We understand. This is not conversation. So Bean does target people at times with it. He's a sniper. He's a conversation sniper. Allie, you know who's a really good band? Spoon. And then Allie says, yeah. And then Bean says, they're a really good band.
Oh, come on.
That's that info, Bean.
Now, what's more relevant working at K-Rock than to discuss one of the bands that we play?
I mean, that seems discussing like a band, really, though. Right.
She was not interested.
Labeling a band a really good band is not really discussing that band.
All right, maybe next time I'll add more details to the story, then.
No. I'm saying you're missing the point. Don't start, is the point. All right.
Okay.
Time for Allie.
Okay, back to Kevin.
Time for Allie.
Okay.
Guys, my quilted coat is shipped from San Francisco.
Nothing.
Who wants to help me track it?
Wait.
Thanks for that info, Allie.
Yeah.
I said that?
You said that.
That's awful.
Listen to Bean laugh.
He loves it.
Guys, it's right in his wheelhouse.
Why would I help you track it? Oh.
Our question is why. Who wants to help me track it?
That's an odd thing to say.
Right?
Okay.
Spoon's looking pretty good about now, isn't it?
Don't remember at all.
You had a blackout.
Yeah.
I'm eating a Cadbury Easter egg right now. No one says anything. It's real good. Nothing. You're welcome.
That's that info, Bean.
Sounds like I'm able to see the positive of almost anything.
That is you. You're super positive.
My turn?
Sure.
It was a good year for lobster in Maine, you guys.
Nothing.
There was over 130 million pounds of lobster for the first time ever.
Nothing.
After bonuses, it's $547 million.
Thanks for that info, Allie.
I mean, if you like lobster, it's probably going to be cheaper because there was so much lobster. I'm just helping you out.
I mean, we understand.
Uh-huh. Understand what you're saying.
We don't need...
That was a great haul.
Further.
Or why.
Those longshoremen and those fishermen, they work hard.
Well,
thanks for that info, Allie.
Kudos.
It sounds like you guys are saying there's no room for lobster talk here on the show.
Huh.
I don't see a lot of room for lobster talk, quite frankly.
Right.
I would back that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Back to Bean. Allie, did you see the list of Hallmark Christmas movies coming out this year? Allie says no, and she likes them, right?
I do. I love them.
And then Bean says, it's pretty good.
That's that info, Bean.
I
can't help but love the world. Sure. Every example you've given so far has been me praising how awesome something is.
But here's the thing. Did you see the list of Christmas movies coming out this year? Allie says no. Right. Maybe give her an example of an actor or a project or something that looks interesting, but you just go, it's pretty good.
I think after that, I sent her the link to the...
That's that info, Bean.
A lot of Lacey Chabert movies. Can't wait.
That's going to be good.
Yeah. Here's Allie.
You guys, it's going to be 80 degrees in Maine today.
No.
Thanks for that info, Allie.
Why would I tell you that?
Why would you say that?
Why would I say that?
But you did.
It's stranger that Allie recognizes none of these, by the way. When does she disassociate in the room and have a conversation?
Why would she care about the weather in Maine?
That's our point.
Oh, that's the point of this.
But see, there's a difference here in the two of you. Uh-huh. Allie recognizes, she says, why would I say that to you guys?
Yeah, she's shocked and horrified when she hears her own words.
Bean says, everything I say is great and positive.
He loves the world.
He's a pig and slop. He just rolls around in his bed.
And I'll even support Allie on that because, you know, I love weather talk anyway.
Sure. And one last one from Bean. I still have 9 minutes in my wash, you guys.
Oh, God. Thanks for that info, Bean.
I was doing laundry during the show.
Thanks for that info, Bean.
Do you think we don't understand that sentence?
Give it an update to how long was left
info,
No one wants your update.
You doing laundry is not interesting to us.
Unless that's something you should never tell anyone. That should be kept to yourself always.
When you put it that way, I see your point.
Okay. That's that info, Bean.
I got some stuff. stuff you just gotta try. What is it?
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
LA and OC's alternative rock. K-Rock.
First, Harvey Levin on the line from TMZ.com. Hey, Harvey.
Good morning, guys.
I have been dying to ask you this question all weekend long. In 2017, what's the first picture of Jay-Z and Beyonce's kids going to be worth to somebody, and if they snap it and it's not released by the family?
Oh, it's going to be released by the family. They're going to release this.
Just because they know they might as well?
Oh, I mean, that's the MO now. I think that's kind of what most people are doing, but they will release it. There's no... I don't even know that people are going to try.
Really?
Yeah, they're going to release it.
I would think that you would be sending somebody in there with in a food cart or something like that trying to get this photo.
Come on.
One of those food carts in
a
hospital.
Food cart?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know they sell churros there in Cedars?
What do you mean a food cart?
Right? Wait, are you talking about room service at a hotel?
I'm just saying, however.
In fairness, though, they have a very expensive, luxurious suite at the
food cart might work. Mm-hmm. See, there you go.
She's not with four other people in the room.
Right.
Right. Maybe she's craving a burrito. I don't know, man.
Right.
But you did, you were the only place all weekend long, Harvey, that I saw the educated guess that we're talking about a boy and a girl for the twins, right?
Well, we know it is. It's a boy and a girl. The babies were born, actually, a week ago today, and they're still in the hospital. There's some issue, medical issue. Beyonce's okay. It's something with the kids. It was characterized to me as a minor issue. But again, The kids have been there for a week. That's kind of where it stands right now.
But
she's
no names yet, right?
I don't know. I mean, I have no idea. I would think they had 9 months to think about a name. They probably came up with a name.
Sure.
Think about these kids that are a week old. Think about how rich they are right now, you guys. They're so rich. Those babies.
I mean, aren't they? That's where you went.
Breathtaking. That's where
right?
your head
yeah.
goes. But anyway.
Seriously.
I was
all
just
right.
thinking.
They're
still
in the hospital.
She had twins and they're Gemini. She rules. Like, how great is she?
So,
she does everything.
No. But what you're saying is, it's like, think about how rich those kids are. Then the corollary to that is that Blue Ivy is saying, oh, that little bitch.
Right?
My money.
She's pissed.
Taking my money.
That's a great point. All right. Let's put your lawyer hat on for a second for me, Harvey. Let's move the action to Pennsylvania now. What is next for the Bill Cosby trial? You and I have spoken before about how it's really a he said, she said when there's no other witnesses or evidence.
And it's an old case.
And it's an old case, right? Well, the prosecutor, they say they're going to try it again. What can they possibly do different except for hopefully get different jurors?
Well, no. I mean, first of all, you know, trials have famously, you know, been held several times, and then each side learns from the first trial. I mean, there are things that are going to resonate that worked and things that didn't. But here's what's so bizarre to me. I mean, bizarre to me is that the prosecutors came out 2 minutes after they said that there was a mistrial because of a hung jury. In fact, in the same hearing where the judge said mistrial, the prosecutor said, and we're going to retry the case within 4 months. They said that without knowing what the breakdown was of the jury.
I was wondering about that, too, because there's a huge difference between 8 to 4 and 11 to 1.
A huge difference. Huge difference. And what if it's 11 to 1 in favor of acquittal?
Yeah.
I mean, they have no idea. Look, Cosby's people have said this is a political ploy for a guy who ran for district attorney. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Camille lashed out at that. And, you know, and I was just thinking to myself, you know, come on. But you got to stop and wonder that they literally jumped and said, we're going to retry it before. Look, if they want to retry them, they retry them. But know what the breakdown is first.
Absolutely.
And to be responsible to the taxpayers, because if it's 11 to 1, it should have an impact on you versus, you know, 10 to 2 in favor of guilt.
But don't you think maybe there was a lot of public pressure on them just to even announce, you know, to have their minds made up going in that they're going to retry if it doesn't work?
But look.
Don't you think there's a lot of people that feel that way and are putting pressure on them?
Let's say you're right. If you're right, fine, but do it so it looks responsible and just wait to announce it until you know what the breakdown is.
Absolutely. Yeah. You're 100% right on that, Harvey. And I was a little bit surprised to not see these Cosby jurors all over my TV. Are they not allowed to talk to somebody?
No, they I believe they can talk,
I would
but
think
nobody
so too.
Talked. No, yeah. I'm shocked. I am shocked at that.
All right.
Shock.
How are they going to convict this guy, Harvey? What can they possibly offer?
Well, look, I mean, remember what they did with Menendez was a hung jury the first time and they convicted him the second. Remember that?
Okay. All right.
So, it's possible, but, and again, I don't know what the breakdown is. You know, you're asking me a question that I don't think anybody can answer until we know what the breakdown is. If it was 11-1 in favor of acquittal, then I cannot see how the prosecution can legitimately retry this
case.
When will we find that out?
I don't know. Oh. I don't know. I mean, I thought it was going to come out this weekend, and it didn't.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. There's no law that says they have to tell us.
No,
right?
There's no law that says
they never
have
know.
To speak. Right.
All right. Well, great stuff as always. Thank you for keeping an eye on that for us. TMZ, look for it throughout the day on Fox Channel 11. TMZ Live at 4 p.m. Same channel, TMZ Sports, Monday through Friday, midnight on Fox Sports 1. And don't forget, get your tickets for the TMZ Tour. Same website, TMZ.com. Thank you, Harvey. We enjoyed it.
Okay, guys. See you next time.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show.
That's a suckfest.
LA and OC's alternative rock. KROQ.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
All right.
I don't watch the news because I'm a kid.
Mm-hmm. But I drew the assignment last night.
Yeah.
For Alex Jones. Mm-hmm. Megyn Kelly has a show on NBC. Was it the first one?
No.
It was not.
She did Putin last time. Now, when you say drew the assignment, were you not going to watch this anyway? I may have.
I'm really? Like, it's a Bean answer. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to go to that movie, but then I probably wouldn't have.
Yeah.
Plus, you don't watch the news historically because you are, in fact,
I'm a kid, right. Yeah, just said that. So, she announces first, when she's just about to do the interview, that there are a lot of people who say you shouldn't give people like this airtime.
Some thought we shouldn't broadcast this interview because his baseless allegations aren't just offensive, they're dangerous.
Now, we're talking about crazy man Alex Jones, mm-hmm. who Bean has played audio from a bunch of times, and he pretty much believes every conspiracy known to man.
But here's the thing. Alex Jones isn't going away. Over the years, his YouTube channel has racked up 1.3 billion views. He has millions of listeners and the ear of our current president.
All right, so that's
by the way, all of this was a really good point. Look, this was an important debate to have this week as to whether you give insane people airtime. And I think her reasoning was you do because he has the ear of the president and millions of Americans.
I think that's the most important part.
I agree.
President looks to him, respects mm-hmm. him, and listens to him. That's very important
for us
to listen to.
Yeah. So then she goes back and starts to talk about young Alex Jones.
Jones began developing his conspiracy theories as a teenager. He grew up the oldest child of a dentist and a homemaker and went to high school in Austin, Texas.
I read a lot of history books when I was a kid, and I also had family that was educated. So, I mean, I just knew how things actually worked versus what the news was saying sometimes.
After a brief stint in community college, Jones found his calling at Public Access TV in Austin.
You know who to blame.
He went into business for himself, founding InfoWars in 1999.
Now, the guy did a brief stint in a community college and then dropped out and started giving his opinion.
Mm-hmm. Smart guy.
Some would say.
Not a guy who needed to go to college, except maybe he could have learned some critical thinking skills while he was there.
There's some of that would have helped.
I'm Alex Jones, your host.
InfoWars makes most of its money by selling products like male supplements.
I mean, it costs $45, $50 million a year to run that.
Now, he sells male supplements, and he had his shirt off, and he was...
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh.
Did you know that, Bean?
Yes.
Oh, dear.
He's like, look at me, look at my muscles.
People buy it.
Yes!
Yeah, we don't need to see Alex Jones' shirt off.
Oh,
we really
don't.
Why would that happen?
How much money is being made?
Well, the money that's made is pretty much put back into things.
And it's time for you.
Jones uses that money to spread his message, a message that has caused enormous pain.
All right, so then she goes into Sandy Hook, and this is his big thing.
Yeah.
Sandy Hook just completely never happened.
At the top of that list is Jones's outrageous statement that the slaughter of innocent children and teachers at Sandy Hook Elementary School, one of the darkest chapters in American history, was a hoax.
I lost my son. I buried my son.
Keep your doctor.
Alex Jones repeatedly claimed that the shooting never happened. Here he is on InfoWars in December 2014.
But it took me about a year with Sandy Hook to come to grips with the fact that the whole thing was fake.
You said the whole thing is a giant hoax. The whole thing was fake.
At that point.
Now listen to his answer. This is what crazy people do. They'll give you three or four different answers and just let you pick whichever one you like.
And I do think there's some cover-up and some manipulation. That is pretty much what I believe. But then I was also going into devil's advocate. But then we know there's mass shootings and these things happen.
Oy. Yeah, he covered a lot of ground there, didn't he? Mm. Now, does that make sense to anyone?
No, of course not. Of course it doesn't make sense. But he, I mean, that's his brand, is questioning authority and questioning whatever the official report is from any government agency. He has to say, no, it's not. That's what he does. That's what his people that follow him want him to do.
The whole thing was fake.
At that point, and I do think there's some cover-up and some manipulation.
Cover-up manipulation.
Is pretty much what I believe. But then I was also going into devil's advocate. But then we know there's mass shootings and these things happen.
Okay, so that makes no sense, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay, so then they continue.
If you wrongly went out there and said it was a hoax, that's wrong.
But what I already answered your question was, listeners and other people are covering this. I didn't create that story.
But Alex, the parents, one after the other, devastated. The dead bodies that the coroner autopsied.
And they blocked all that? And they won't release any of it? That's unprecedented?
All of the parents decided to come out and lie about their dead children?
I didn't say that.
What happened to the children?
I will sit there on the air and look at every position and play devil's advocate.
Was that devil's advocate? The whole thing is a giant hoax. The whole thing was fake.
Yes, because I remember in even that day, I'll go back from memory, then saying, but then some of it looks like it's real. But then what do you do when they've got the kids going in circles in and out of the building with their hands up? I've watched the footage, and it looks like a drill. I tend to believe that children probably did die there. But then you look at all the other evidence on the other side, I can see how other people believe that nobody died there.
I can't even.
Holy crap.
I can't even keep up with him.
How much is he sweating at that point?
Oh, he sweats all.
Yeah.
No, she nailed him on that because it's indefensible. And by the way, there is no evidence on the other side.
Right.
None.
Zero. Yeah, it just makes so little sense, but he just keeps going thing after thing after thing.
But then what do you do when they've got the kids going in circles in and out of the building with their hands up?
Right.
I've watched the footage.
Right.
And it looks like a drill. I tend to believe that children probably did die there. But then you look at all the other evidence on the other side, I can see how other people believe that nobody died there.
How crazy is that? He's literally answering in both ways.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I think people died there and people didn't die there.
Yeah.
And by the way, another thing that he did in Sandy Hook and he does in other stories, I think they covered this last night as well, which is if anybody anywhere types it on the internet, he considers that a source.
Yes,
and correct. Now it's okay for him to explore that because everything is equal. It doesn't matter whether it's the New York Times or Dave in his basement.
But he's trying to tell her that he's playing devil's advocate, which means he doesn't think Sandy Hook was a hoax, but he's taking people who do believe that and he's just speaking for them.
Mm-hmm.
That was his actual answer.
He's thinning it. He's slicing it pretty thin right there.
Right.
Trying to find a way out.
Right. So then she, I think, sums it up nicely.
We're going to get to work immediately for the American people.
With the election of Donald Trump, Alex Jones has plans to expand InfoWars. The 2016 campaign was good for InfoWars. Its YouTube monthly views reached 83 million in November 2016, more than five times higher than the previous November. And when Mr. Trump won, Alex Jones found himself with access to the seat of power. InfoWars got a temporary White House press pass for the first time. And Jones says Mr. Trump called him after the election to thank him for his help. Just 2 weeks ago, the Trump-Pence campaign emailed this message to supporters. Notice at the bottom, it's a link to InfoWars.
Oh, good Lord.
So that's
So that's a thing.
That's the president promoting InfoWars. And by the way, I think Megyn Kelly came off real well in this
interview. I did too.
Don't you? I think she... What do you think, Ellie? No?
I think she was going to hold his feet to the fire. I think once all of this got drummed up and she shouldn't do it, that's when they decided to bring Tom Brokaw in. That's when they decided to include Sandy Hook parents. I don't think they were going to do that at all.
Is that right?
I think
you're right in that they edited it all week long as they saw how much blowback there was and as the Connecticut NBC station refused to air it and whatnot. But I think the finished product as a result of all of that input ended up being worthwhile and good television. But I'll also say, I don't know that it was a lose for Alex either. I think he managed to hold his own for the most part, and is what he does, as crazy as it is going to be very attractive to people. And now he can, you know, he can lash out at the mainstream media, you know, about the way he was portrayed. He'll spin this to make it look like he was wrong.
Oh, of course.
But what about all the sweat?
Kevin and Bean.
Please enjoy our stupid show.
Yoko Ono, we found out on Friday, was going to receive songwriting credit for John Lennon's Imagine.
Why so soon?
This is a new development.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Why?
I can't imagine why. Look.
See what you did?
The song came out in 1971.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And by the way, as an aside, not a number one record. How shocking is that when you think about a song as legendary, as classic as John Lennon's Imagine? It only went to number three. But that, like I said,
I think that's not the point.
That's not the point at all.
Right, right.
Why in 1971 and 72 and 73 and 75 and 79 all the way up to 1980, if she helped write that song, why did John Lennon, her husband, not say, hey, let's share some songwriting credits on this baby? Why didn't that happen? Why does it take 40 years later for them to say, oh, you know what? Yoko inspired that song. She definitely played a part in writing that song. Let's give her the credit. It's kind of weird.
But she didn't write it. That's also kind of weird.
Here's what happened is the National Music Publishers Association in New York last Wednesday did a presentation where they showed a video from back in 1980, shortly before Mr. Lennon was shot, that said that Yoko deserved a songwriting credit because of her influence and her inspiration. So it came right from John Lennon's mouth.
That's not songwriting.
Here's a little bit of the song Imagine, if you're unfamiliar with the number.
Imagine all.
By the way, usually when somebody gets added as a co-writer, they've lobbied for it because there's money to be made. In this case, she doesn't get a penny more as a co-songwriter because she's already the beneficiary of her late husband's estate. Right?
So what's the benefit? She's not doing it for money. Maybe she's doing it so people think she's a good songwriter.
I don't know, but we can ask her because Yoko Ono joins us back on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock, and it's been a long time. Yoko, how are you?
I'm well. Thank you so much for having me on.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe you can help us understand why all these years later this change was made in the songwriting credit to Imagine.
Because it is a meaningful for me to have this credit on the song.
Mm-hmm.
Because John and I wrote it together, and we had so much shared spirituality when we wrote the song together.
Mm-hmm. I don't mean to be disrespectful, but John Lennon was a freaking Beatle who wrote hundreds of legendary classic songs.
Yes.
And it seems unlikely that you, out of the blue, would help write this one when you're not known for writing any other good songs.
I did write the song with him. You know, it wasn't even a number one song. It only went to number three.
We heard that.
Surprising, isn't it?
It really is. Was that not the point, Yoko?
I did write the song, and it is very important to me because many of the lyrics I wrote, John did not use. We used some of his and some of mine.
Oh, I see. Well, which ones did you use specifically?
This was originally my version.
Okay, all right.
Yoko. That would not have improved the song. I think your husband made the right decision there.
We split the difference.
So he didn't use any of that.
No.
All right, what part of what you wrote did he use?
The J in Imagine. That was you. But I wrote many of the Beatles' biggest hits with him.
What?
No.
No.
More than That's imagine. Not. What?
Maybe you remember this hit. Yesterday.
Okay. Well, Yoko,
Far away.
Okay.
Oh, you wrote Far Away?
Yes.
Oh, that's sweet.
I think they cleaned that one up pretty well then, it sounds like.
And then also, after the Beatles broke up,
right.
I got together with Paul and we wrote a song together.
Oh, no kidding.
I didn't know that. Okay.
Maybe I'm a man.
Ouch.
This is painful, Yoko.
It really hurts.
Oh, good Lord.
And then this one. Hey, John! Far away.
You do have a style.
Thank you.
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
Cool. Sounds dope.
Yeah, fresh.
K-Rock, LA and OC's alternative rock.
We did a story early in the show one day last week that I think requires a little extra time. And we need to get some listener input as well. Because for whatever reason, there are some things that other people do that just drive you crazy for no reason. And I did not get any support when I came out and said, there's nothing wrong with eating a pizza with a knife and fork. I mean, I was universally condemned in this room.
Well, I mean, because you're ISIS.
Yeah. Okay, this is that's my point. No, thank you, Kevin. That's a fantastic analogy.
Then you brought it further and said a hamburger with a fork.
Yes.
You were just naming all sorts of things that should be in your hand.
Right.
Okay, but here's...
Do you not have hands?
I do have hands.
Please.
We haven't seen you in a while. the reason this came up is because there is a great deal of controversy about McDonald's in France is now serving knives and forks with some of their bigger burgers on the menu. And people are just outraged because, as Ali says, a hamburger is built to be eaten
in
your hands.
Okay? Yeah. It is.
However, if you don't want to eat it out of your hand, if you want to cut it up. Yeah. No, not ISIS. Okay, that's my point, Kevin.
Okay, not ISIS.
If somebody like me, for instance, wants to use a knife and fork to cut a burger or a pizza or an apple or anything else.
Then the terrorists have won.
What possible difference can it make to any other diner?
Murder. Yeah. Murder.
Explain to me how it hurts you, Kevin, if somebody at the table next to you is eating pizza with a knife and fork.
It shouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
I can't answer it. It's just they need to be punched.
It's annoying.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, they need to be punched.
It affects your life in no way, shape, or form.
Right. I mean, it doesn't really affect me in any way.
So,
but punch.
This is why we thought it might be fun to talk to you, the Kevin and Bean Lister, about the thing that you know intellectually should not bother you. Mm-hmm. There's no reason for you to care about what this other person does.
If but Bean eats hamburgers with a fork and a knife.
I eat my hamburgers with a fork and a knife. I do.
Okay, so you're a terrible person.
Yeah.
But why do I feel that way?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. But I get it.
But I'm right.
You are. Totally. Totally.
I went to, within the last week, I have eaten a hamburger with a knife and a fork because I went to the Bayou Burger and the hamburgers are pretty stacked. You know what I mean? With a bunch of stuff on it. And it is kind of messy to pick it up. It's a two-hander. And I would rather...
Do you have one hand?
I don't. I still got
a hook. You don't have a hook for a left hand?
I would rather
pick it up and eat it.
Get all greasy.
It's not greasy. There's a bun on each side, right?
Well, yeah, but
okay.
They don't have napkins in New Orleans.
They don't have napkins.
Okay,
of course they
shame.
Do.
What?
But I'm just saying, if it's better for me, then let me do that. another example that I brought up last week, Kevin, when we first started talking about this, is man buns. Is a perfect example of something that are universally hated.
Yeah.
Yet it's just a guy wearing his hair in a different style.
And how does it affect me? Not at all.
And how does it affect you? I mean, do you have any problem with ponytails?
On a guy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pigtails?
Oh, sure.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Well, I'm team pigtail.
What about the same booth sitters? Same side of the booth.
Oh, same side of the booth.
Yeah.
So there's two people, yeah. And they're not facing each other. They're
no,
both...
they're right next to each other. Come on.
That drives you crazy.
Move to the other side. Have a conversation.
What if you move?
It's weird. Stop it.
But tell me why, Allie.
I don't know. It just, it annoys me. Like, do you have to be that close when you're eating? And can't you be apart from each other?
Because maybe you think it's a fake overshowing of emotion.
A little bit.
Oh, they're faking
Plus,
it.
You have a better conversation when you can look at each other straightforward
right.
instead
maybe
of right next to each other.
Maybe you do. Maybe this is how they prefer it, though.
But come on.
Right? Is it that you hate love? Is
little
it in that
bit.
Case?
Okay. Yeah, a little bit.
All right. So what's the thing
what
that
about
people
daylight
do?
Savings?
Saving, right. What's the thing that people do?
Now, I'm saying, look. Even if you're correct, let's mm-hmm. say you're correct.
Well, there's no even
saving.
If. I mean, I'm absolutely correct.
Let's say you're correct. Uh-huh. When people use it, how does it affect you? It just shouldn't. It shouldn't, but you will sit there with fingers of fire that day, and you'll fire off 7,000 tweets.
You're not gonna see this analogy.
Okay.
But this, to me, is the same as why I don't want people having sex on the plane that I'm on. Because the world falls apart if you don't have some sort of standards. You don't have some sort of rules.
Right, but the world's not gonna fall apart yeah. because of daylight saving.
You're right. It's death by a thousand cuts, though. Because
no.
when you don't care about this, and then you don't care about that, and then you don't care about
and
this
then you
thing
don't
over
care
there.
If somebody eats a hamburger with a knife and fork.
But that really
right?
doesn't affect
then
anybody.
Then mass hysteria.
All right, let's
All
take some calls
breaks loose.
At 1-800-520-1067. What's the thing that somebody does? It doesn't have to be food related. It could be anything at all that somebody does that drives you crazy. Why don't we start with, let's start with Lou. He's in East LA, line one up first.
Hey, Lou.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What bothers you?
I had a coworker. We would go out to get soft tacos,
mm-hmm.
and she would the soft taco with a knife and fork.
Yeah, mm-hmm. see, that's not cool.
I have mad respect for her.
No, come on!
Why? Did you ever ask her why?
I you know what? It was one of those things that I'm just respectful that, you know, okay, that's the way you eat it, that's the way you eat it, but it just bothers
no,
me.
No, you take the fork away from her. Next time, take the fork away from her.
And put it right in her eye. Right, thank you, Lou. Appreciate the call. Let's do Cindy real quick, too. Line 5, La Mirada, up next on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Cindy.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
There's no reason why it should drive you crazy, but it does. What is it?
Scion clown cars.
Oh, those tiny little Scion cars.
Scion cars. I want, every time I'm behind one, I just want to ram it.
Doesn't make any sense.
Well, that's the point. I want to hear you say it shouldn't bother me, though.
It shouldn't bother me.
Okay.
I completely agree with that, but I just get so angry. I hate them.
How do you feel about little like Mini Coopers or little Fiats or something?
I have no problem with those.
Why?
I have no problem.
Huh.
Because the Fiat, they look like clown cars. I'm expecting, every time I see one, I'm expecting about 20 clowns to walk out of them.
So you're disappointed because you don't see clowns.
She loves clowns.
She loves clowns.
Oh, God, no.
I see clowns.
No, okay. All right. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. All right. You want to squeeze in one more? We've got to take a break.
Let's squeeze in one more.
All right. Let's make it Bill, then. Santa Fe Springs, line 6.
Let's not take one more. If it's going to be Bill.
It's got to be Bill. Come on.
Hey, Bill.
Hey, good morning, party people.
What drives you crazy that shouldn't?
Oh, dude. Yeah, I know this just drives me insane. You know, you walk into the men's restroom, and you walk up to the urinal to go to the bathroom, and you unzip. Then all of a sudden, you hear the guy next to you, like, undoing their belt, unbuttoning their pants. It's like, really, dude? You have to undo your whole...
Your whole apparatus?
Just take a whiz? I mean, are you kidding me?
What do you think that's about, by the way? Because I have wondered, too, if it's maybe they just have, like their shirts are too long or something like that? Or
I don't know. Maybe their junk doesn't hang all the way out. I don't know, man.
That's
I prefer
sad,
not
Bill.
To think about it in that kind of detail.
Right.
But
same.
Dude, it's like, that's what the hole in your underwear is for, in the zipper. It's like, you don't have to undo everything.
And that drives you crazy. Have you ever said anything?
No, I haven't. But I just walk away like with that look like, really, dude? Like,
I think it's best not to die on that hill anyway, Bill. let them have that one and just go about your business. All right, thanks for the call. 1-800-520-1067. Taking your calls, taking your texts on this topic. It drives you crazy. You know it shouldn't, but it does. We'll talk to you next on K-Rock.
K-Rock. LNOC's alternative rock.
We're a bunch of sorry sons of bitches.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock.
So we all agree that you're a communist if you eat a hamburger with a knife
Absolutely.
And a fork, right?
No,
okay,
that's
so
not
we're all on the same
yeah.
page,
no,
right?
No. The point is, these are things that bother you, but they don't affect your life in any way, shape, or form. So why do you care? Mm. That's the topic.
I agree to disagree.
Let's try Joseph, line six, please, La Mirada, then we'll get right into some Weezer here on K-Rock. Hey, Joseph, what's going on, man?
The one that bothers me the most that shouldn't bother me is dudes that wear pants and sandals.
All right, now that's a bad look, but if it's a surfer dude, I'm fine with it. If it's
Why aren't you fine with it for anybody, Kevin? It doesn't affect you.
I don't know.
Somebody wants to wear that,
these are just the rules,
who cares?
Pete. They're just the rules.
Yeah, I'll allow it over like a CPA.
What's
yeah,
that?
I understand the beach life and all that.
Right.
Where I live at, there's no beach around.
Okay, mm-hmm. All right.
Obviously, but I don't know. It's just one of those things that bothers me. I just want to kick the guy's knees in, you know?
Wow.
How about sales with socks, you guys?
Oh, no.
Never, no.
No, don't be ridiculous.
Uh-uh.
Kick the knees in.
Yes.
No, don't kick the knees in, Joseph. Just kidding.
No.
Okay,
no. Yes.
All right. Thanks. What?
It's the Kevin and Bean Show.
Side effects may include unpleasant taste, headache, dizziness, and morning drowsiness.
K-Rock, LA and OC's alternative rock.
Drives you crazy, but there's no reason why it should, because it doesn't affect your life at all. That's the topic here at 1-800-520-1067. Let me read a couple before we go back to the phone calls. Aaron, men who are always scratching their beards or playing with it, it's creepy, like Jeffrey Dahmer creepy. By the way, you know, I have that thing about women who are petting their pregnant bellies, too.
Oh.
No reason why it should, but you know,
there's life in there, Bean.
Yeah,
they're comforting
crazy.
Their baby.
Stop it. Quit playing with your dumb, unborn kid.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And we wonder why women hate Bean.
Wow.
Lisa, right. But this is exactly what we're talking about, is that there's no reason for it to affect me. It just does. That's why it's irrational. Lisa writes in from Las Vegas. My husband admits it shouldn't bug him when people park in front of our house. He knows it's a public street, but it's in front of our house and they just shouldn't, he says.
I get it.
Right? That's a perfect example. All right. Let's go to Issaquah, Washington. Laura is on line eight. For some reason, she is streaming the Kevin and Bean Show here today. Hey, Laura.
Hello.
You might be the craziest one. What do you do? And it drives your husband crazy, right?
It drives him absolutely crazy. So anything that is too hot, I won't touch it until it's cooled down a bit. So like soup, I always ask for ice so I can put it in, so I'm not making everyone wait at the table, so it's not too hot.
So you put ice in your hot soup?
I do. I feel like I can't taste it if it's too hot, and it just drives me nuts, and he makes fun of me every single time.
I mean, some people will wait that 50 to 60 seconds.
No.
Maybe a little.
If it has steam coming off the top of it, I'm not touching.
Okay. All right.
I have no problem with that, Laura. You tell your husband, stuff it. Thank you for the call. All right. Let's do another food one. This is Tyler, line four. He's in Fontana.
All right. Hi, Tyler.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. Thanks.
All right. So people who eat cold pizza...
Oh, you're the worst.
Cold pizza is the worst.
Cold,
no,
wow,
Tyler
Bean.
Is right. Cold
what?
Pizza. Look.
Get off my phone. Get off my show. This cold pizza is the best.
Cold
this
pizza
is a mountain I'll die on.
Tyler, pizza is meant to be served hot. Am I right?
Pizza is a hot food. How long does it take to warm up pizza? It's a
30 seconds.
Pizza is a hot food and is
30
really
seconds.
Good hot. It's also good cold.
Yeah, pizza microwaved is just awful, but cold, yeah.
Tyler, you keep doing what you're doing, man. You're absolutely right.
Oh, because,
nope.
Because you agree, Bean.
Yeah,
I see how this works.
Pizza, man.
So
just,
good.
It just doesn't even make any sense.
Should, like, early in the morning, you've been out all night. Woo, cold pizza.
All right, let's try. I don't know what Brandon's talking about. Let's find out. He's on line two, Cypress, next on K-Rock.
Hey, Brandon.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. Talking about things that should not annoy you nearly as much as they do.
Yeah, well, I do roadside service for a living. I've been doing it for 8 years. And what annoys me a lot, which doesn't make sense to me, is when I get a fuel delivery service and people are actually at a gas pump when I pull up to give them fuel. And they have to pay me for the fuel when I get there, mind you. So
wait, what?
It just makes no sense. Yeah.
Why would they do that?
Why would they call roadside service for gas when they're at a gas station?
Exactly. Why would they do that? I have no idea, but it happens at least three or four times a week.
It does?
Yes,
is it
does.
Because they don't...
They don't think they're going to make it to the gas station?
But they're at the pump.
They're at the gas pump. Like,
what?
They're literally at a gas pump, yes. Or they'll be at the air pump, the air and water pump, where they can just probably push the vehicle up, you know, a few yards and get to a gas pump and put gas in the vehicle.
I mean, I guess you just have to look at it as the positive is that you're getting paid, right? So let them do it. Let them keep doing it.
I'm still getting paid, so it shouldn't really bother me at all, but it does.
That's crazy.
It really irritates me.
That's crazy.
That is weird.
My gasoline can and light their car on fire with it.
I don't think you should do that.
Okay.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Carol writes in from the 310, distressed jeans and shorts. People pay so much money for something so stupid, some of them have more holes than material. Like, what's the point? By the way, you could extrapolate that to be almost anything that people wear. It doesn't really affect you if whether you think it looks good or not, right?
Yeah, true.
But people do get very, very upset. Now, let me ask you guys an opinion on this, because I was out over the weekend, and I saw a guy who looked like he was about 70 walking down the street.
Okay.
With no shirt on.
Mm-hmm. 70.
And he...
Did he look good?
Allie, you would have been envious of these boobs. I'm telling you. Envious.
Sweet spirit.
And I thought to myself, because I knew we had this topic, I thought, you know what? He's letting his freak flag fly. Why do I care if he wants to walk around, if that's how he wants to spend his day walking around? It doesn't matter whether anybody else likes it or not. Why should I care? It was still tough to look at, though.
Did you run him over?
No, I didn't.
Okay, I'm just over.
Asking. It's just but a what's question. The ruling on that? Is it okay to be unhappy about having to see that? It's his life.
It's both. You can be upset, but that's well, on. But he doesn't have to change for you.
Okay.
I mean,
all right. Let's try Rebecca Burbank, line 5, up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Drives you crazy? It shouldn't, but it does. Rebecca, what say you?
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I hate when parents have their children on leashes at amusement parks.
Do you hate when children are running crazy and their parents have no idea where they are?
Well, then that's their fault for raising their children like that. They should have them next to them holding their hand. I just want to cut those leashes off and let those children run free.
But I just want to clarify. You don't, though, right?
No. I almost have once. I almost have.
Wow. So it's not...
They're pulling their kids like they're animals, and they're like...
It's not just an alternative parenting choice. As far as you're concerned, it's abuse.
It's abuse, it is. They're not animals. Half the time they're not going to pay attention to their kids, and their kids are...
All right, we're going to hear about Rebecca in the news sometime soon. I'm telling you right now. All right, thank you for the call. Let's take one more. Let's make it Chris, who is calling from Northridge. Hi.
Hi, good morning, guys.
Hi.
The thing that annoys me most is when people back into parking spaces. For some reason, every time I see it, I automatically think they're a douchebag. I don't know why.
Does it matter where it is? Like, what if it's at a concert or something and it's just going to be easy access to get out?
The thing is...
Why does it bother you?
You had to back the car in.
Right.
You either have to back it in when you first get there or you have to back it out when you leave. At some point, you're backing.
Right.
What difference does it make? Why go through the trouble? It just seems like you make life so much more complicated for yourself.
On the first part, but on the second part, so much easier.
But people are going to be expecting you to back out, not pull forward at a quick pace. I just automatically assume that they're douchey.
Chris has given this a lot of thought.
Chris really has.
I got to respect the research, Chris.
You're crazy, but we respect the research.
Hey, I'm not saying that I'm justified. I'm just saying I assume they're a douche.
Okay.
Right. Fair enough.
K-Rock, LA and OC's alternative rock.
It's like lame and it's like stupid and it's dumb.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. Radio.com. Radio.com.
And now, a moment with Bean.
We want to hear your story. Anna, you are, what's your deal? Where do you live? What do you do? What's your deal?
That was a moment with Bean.
That's a bunch of good questions there,
yes,
by the way.
Right. What was happening there?
Right?
I don't know. I always ask myself, though, is why at the end of that do you think if you just add the word deal onto it again...
Makes it better.
Makes it better.
But I was thinking I do that all the time. I don't know why.
Hey, Anna, where are you from?
Or, hey, Anna, what do you do? I mean,
he's in a rush.
Why does he have to demand a questionnaire?
A moment with Bean.
We want to hear your story, Anna. You are, what's your deal? Where do you live? What do you do? What's your deal?
That was a moment with Bean.
Right? It's easy after the fact to point out 100 different ways that could have been better.
Right.
That's just not how it came out that particular time.
Right.
Hey, before Ralph does the showbiz beat, let's do that grand prize drawing. Last week, we were giving away tickets to go see Incubus and Jimmy Eat World at the Hollywood Bowl. Then you were qualified to see them again in a flyaway destination of Seattle, Washington. Kevin, who's our winner, please?
Marvin Malzahn. Marvin Malzahn from Mission Viejo.
Yeah!
Grand prize trip for two to see Incubus and Jimmy Eat World in Seattle. You get the round-trip airfare, you get the hotel, you get the tickets, you get the spending cash. Congratulations, and thanks for listening to K-Rock.
And we're doing a road trip 2017 destination number 3 right now, which is the Caboo Festival in San Diego at 9 o'clock this morning. You have a chance to win those tickets to see the Red Hot Chili Peppers, Muse, Weezer, Jane's Addiction, and so much more coming up at 9 a.m. All right, Ralph is here. What's going on, man?
They're not saying Caboo. They're saying Cabruce. Right?
Wow, I didn't get the full bell? Or the full buzzer
full
on
buzz?
That one?
Yeah.
Speaking of the boss, Bruce is heading to Broadway. How about this?
Broadway. I don't understand this
as
at all.
A residency. What? Instead of going to a big honking stadium, a la Billy Joel does with Madison Square Garden.
Right.
Or taking it up in Vegas. He's doing a small theater on Broadway.
But why?
Because he's the best.
Right, but you have to work just as hard for 975 people as you do for 60,000 people for a fraction of the money.
Yeah, because he's hurting for cash. You're right. He better try to make the biggest payday he can.
I'm just saying.
It's an artistic choice.
Right. Yeah, he wants to make it intimate and special for those people.
It's a acoustic show. It's solo and acoustic.
Good
no kidding. Lord.
It's not a big E Street Band thing. It's him and his guitar. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
His next album is going to be all. Bean's already dubious.
so
judgy.
Uh huh.
No, yes, I'm not. And... Look, I've seen him solo and acoustic on more than one occasion. I mean, it's a great show. I'm just surprised.
He's just leaving a lot of money on the table.
That's
kind
all.
Of belligerent about it.
You are.
Not at all. It just doesn't make any financial sense.
Why are you angry, bro?
He's going to do an 8-week run of solo concerts at the Walter Kerr Theater this fall. He'll do 5 shows a week starting in November. And it's a good deal for everybody because this theater has been dark since the musical Amelie closed there in May. So the owners made a nice deal with Bruce. He gets the place for free and keeps all the ticket revenue. While the theater gets all the cash from sales of alcohol and snacks and stuff like that. So it was going to be an empty theater anyway, so they make a little bit something. Bruce makes a little something, and he gets to work out his solo acoustic show there on Broadway. Pretty
high deal for the scalpers, I'll tell you that. Look, you're selling less than...
Can there be no joy?
You're selling less than 1,000 seats a night. How many times do you think those tickets are going to turn over at multiple, multiple, multiple value?
Why can't you just let people have fun?
I'm just saying.
It's a perfectly legitimate choice on his part if he wants to play small theater shows.
He's allowed.
Someone didn't love you enough when you were little, did they?
Should Hamilton play the Coliseum then so more people can see that Broadway show?
Right.
I mean, should you never do any show in a small venue?
Look, I'm just saying. Springsteen in New York could sell out Shea Stadium every weekend.
Right.
That's
He's
all
done
I'm
that.
Saying.
He doesn't
done
want
that.
To anymore.
He's doing a small acoustic show. You don't do an acoustic show in front of a stadium audience.
I'll allow it.
But you don't like it.
I don't like it, but I'll allow it. I defer to the boss. He is the boss.
You're not treating him such.
Right?
I mean, as such.
It's his decision.
Well, it's nice enough you're letting Bruce make his decision.
I don't think I like your attitude.
Please enjoy.
Top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Cars 3. In its debut, was number one at the box office, $53.5 million. Wonder Woman was second. All Eyes on Me, the Tupac Shakur biography, $27 million, made it number 3 this weekend. Then The Mummy and 47 Meters Down. Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men Tell No Tales, was 6th. Rough Night debuted with just $8 million, making it number 7. Captain Underpants, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, and It Comes at Night, were your top 10 films at the box office.
I would have thought Scarlett Johansson would have a lot more box office power than that.
Yeah, I'm surprised.
Plus, that movie looked great.
Rough Night did not do better. I thought it'd be a lot of girls' night out movie goers there with all their friends drinking their white Zinfandel and, ooh, let's have some Crystal Light and vodka.
Now you're talking.
Allie, how did you and your wine girls?
How did you girls miss this one?
Yeah.
Bean wanted to know how you and your wine girls missed this one.
Well, two of the wine girls are in Italy right now.
Oh.
So.
Right.
Well, tell them to get their ass back on a plane because Scarlett Johansson needs their box office dollars. And Foo Fighters.
Right?
Right. Oh, they're so great.
Right?
They were in Reykjavik, Iceland this weekend playing the Secret Solstice Festival. And Dave Grohl announced he wanted to play every new song they've written for over the past year, but he said they just didn't have time for that, so they settled on another new Foo song. So far we've heard Run, right? Mm-hmm. We've heard that a couple weeks ago. The Sky is a Neighborhood, which we also heard. And now La-Di-Da is the name of the tune that they debuted in Iceland. Brand new Foo music, never heard before. Debuted it at the Secret Solstice Festival. Here's a little taste.
Oh, come on.
That is gorgeous.
That's not.
He doesn't
How
sound like
dare
used
you.
To.
Mm.
Oh, you want the
that
food.
That is.
I want the studio version of that today.
Yeah, that version of it is not great.
Oh,
that
come
sounds
on.
Like
How
a great
do you mean
song.
It's not great?
The audio quality is not great, but it sounds like a great song.
Between you with
what?
You
it
and
doesn't
the
sound.
Springsteen on
that's
the other
not great
end.
Audio.
You all should just,
I'm just
burn.
Saying.
I like the Zeppelin feel of it. Had a little Zeppelin feel.
That of course features Dave Grohl on guitar
Grohl.
And drums.
Grohl.
Do you like me for liking it, Ralph?
Wow. That was just
don't
sad.
Don't you have a quilted coat to track, Cookie?
Oh, do you want to help me?
Oh, good God, fix your life.
Right?
Please.
Yes. Please. Today's celebrity birthdays. June 19th. All these celebrities born on this day. Macklemore. Zoe Saldana. Paula Abdul. Poppy Montgomery. Robin Tunney. Kathleen Turner. Vanessa Martinez. Hugh Dancy, Felicia Rashad, Mia Sara, and Laura Spencer all celebrate birthdays. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
Really bad.
LA and OC's alternative rock. K-R-O-Q.
What do you say we go catch up with our good friend RJ Bell in Las Vegas right now?
Because he's RJ Bell. RJ Bell. Yes, he's RJ Bell.
RJ is on to talk about the biggest sporting event of the year, Saturday, August 26th, at the T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas, Mayweather versus McGregor. Before we get to that, RJ, anything you want to say to Allie now that you found out she's never seen the Godfather movies?
I don't blame her, right? Because it has to be...
What?
Listen, it has to be nothing but ignorance. I blame you guys. I mean, if you,
thank
imagine,
you.
Imagine
thank you.
If someone
wow.
was, imagine this.
I didn't see that coming.
If someone was, if someone was in the corner, let's say eating glass
right.
day after day, whose fault is it? Obviously, well, they don't know what they're doing. You've got to stop them.
Which is a lot like my job here. Eating glass.
So we need to sit her down and tie her down to a chair and force her to watch the Godfather movies.
No, just shame her. I mean,
oh, we've
shame
tried. Okay.
Shame.
We've tried
trust
that.
Me.
All right. All right. Well, thank you for turning the heat on that, RJ. That's very important. Well, listen, am I wrong? Look, there's nothing bigger than the Super Bowl. I'm being a little hyperbolic, but it certainly has to be one of the biggest red letter days on the calendar for sports fans this year, particularly in Las Vegas, August 26th, right?
No, I think you were right initially. There is nothing like a big prize fight. Now, let's be candid. Every time there's a pay-per-view, it's not a big prize fight.
Right.
But when you have one of these, like the local news is going to lead with it on Friday, you know, the Friday before the Saturday fight.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Those happen every couple years, and there is nothing in Vegas like it. And being down there, and I've been lucky enough to have press credentials for a few of these. And, man, there is, I mean, when you're near ringside, obviously nothing like it. But just being, let's say, at the MGM that night, the energy, and obviously the Tupac movie came out this week, and it was after one of those fights where, unfortunately, the shooting happened. But, like, there's just an energy on the strip, and it's a little bit sometimes of a dangerous energy, but man, oh man, unlike anything else.
And this is, I mean, this is an unusual one because you have two superstars who have so much backstory and so much history, none with each other. I mean, it's just, you're putting two things together that are not, that shouldn't go together, but people can't resist it.
I think as a sports fan, that's one of the interesting elements of this. It's discipline against discipline, right? Remember growing up, and, you know, I'm in my mid-40s, so I remember, let's say, the Justice League and the cartoons before all the big superhero movies, but it was like, who would win? Batman versus so-and-so, or, you know, obviously Superman was the champ, right? He was going to win them all because he could do anything. And in a weird way, that's how, like, how's the boxer going to do? How is the, you know, UFC guy going to do?
Mayweather is the huge favorite, though, right?
Listen, when you say huge, I'm not sure that, I think it might not quite be huge. So let's talk about the odds for a minute. There was a lot of talk about this fight right around the new year. So some of the books in Vegas actually put odds out early, prospective odds on the fight. Mayweather was minus 2,500. Now, what does that mean? That meant you would have had to bet $25 to win $1.
Wow.
Or $125 to win a Subway sandwich is the way I like to look at it. So it really is a situation where that was obviously huge. Now, on Wednesday last week when the fight was made official, the odds were $9 to win $1 on Mayweather. So it went from 25 down to 9. In the first 24 hours, the first day after the fight was announced, it was McGregor money, McGregor money, McGregor money. Over 90% of the bets on McGregor, the odds went down to minus 650. So think about that. That's where they are now, right around there, $7. So it was a situation where a bet 25 to win a dollar way back when, a few months ago. Now it's down to a bet 650 to win a dollar. So yes, Mayweather's the big favorite, but man, oh man, it's been a bunch of McGregor money, and I expect that to continue. This is, I think, pretty unequivocal. The recreational bettors love to bet a little to win a lot. They love a big payoff.
Right.
They also love a big name. And even though this isn't his discipline, McGregor's a huge name. So you're going to see the recreational bettors heavy, heavy, heavy on McGregor. And the pro bettors, they're not afraid to bet a lot to win a little. They're going to be betting Mayweather.
You know, we have seen, as a result of that Nate Silversight 538, we have seen percentage odds on anything, whether it's a presidential election or the World Series. Can you put a number on it like that? I mean, is Mayweather 95% likely to win, 91%? What do you know about that?
All right, so there's two ways to look at it, right? One way is going to be what are the betting odds. The other is what are the true odds. Now, typically, the true odds and the betting odds are very close. The time, and that's why it's so hard to beat Vegas, right? The times that they're not, and think back to, and we'll be coming up on the NFL season, one of my rationales in almost every game is, oh, the public has a misperception in this game, and that's going to lead to the game being mispriced.
Right.
So in this case, if you look at the betting odds, it's about 15% for McGregor, you know, obviously 85% for Mayweather. If you talk to experts, and I'm talking about guys who are both boxing and UFC experts, which is ideal, right? Because they understand both of the disciplines.
Right.
I got a guy I really respect here in Vegas that says there's less than a 1% chance that McGregor wins. So there really is a difference between what the fans think and what the sharpest of the sharps think.
Forgive me if this is a dumb question. I don't think I've ever asked this before, RJ. But is it possible in Las Vegas to bet on how big a pay-per-view will be?
Not in Vegas. The thing Vegas tries to do is they want things or events bets decided on the field of play because the chance of corruption is so much less. Now, with the online books, And let's be honest, over 99% of the betting in the world happens outside of Nevada. When it comes to sports betting, when it comes to the United States, obviously this is the capital of the betting world when it comes to legal betting. But we all know there's a bunch of online sports books. Anyone in LA, you see it on the billboards. We won't name any specific ones, but they actually have odds. Will this be the biggest pay-per-view ever? And it's a significant favorite to be. So if you want to measure the metric of how many people are going to actually spend money to watch this fight, then it's a big favor, Mayweather-McGregor, to be the biggest fight of all time.
We're talking to our friend RJ Bell on the line, founder of pregame.com, the exclusive odds provider for the Associated Press. All right, Kevin's complaint has always been about Floyd Mayweather is that he dances, right, Kevin?
He
doesn't
dodges.
Fight.
He dodges the
dances,
fight.
He dances, he dodges, and that's why almost all of his fights go the distance. So I would think that unless Conor McGregor has some sort of strategy that we can't see coming, or unless he gets very lucky, this fight is going to go the distance. Right, RJ?
I disagree with that, though I agree with the general premise. That's what makes this fight so interesting. So let's look at Mayweather's history for a minute. The last time that he's knocked somebody, he's won all his fights, obviously, right? He's 49-0, potentially 50-0. Last time he KO'd someone, or the fight didn't go the distance, 2011.
Because he just stays out of the way.
Okay.
So he just doesn't fight.
So why wouldn't he do that again?
That's what I was anticipating.
Because McGregor might, you would think maybe McGregor would see that coming and would know how to cut off the ring and get to him.
Well, let's just say this. I agree with you. That is the rationale. If you ask listen, recreational bettors aren't stupid, right? They have some rationale. It's just usually it's the wrong rationale.
Oh.
If you ask McGregor bettors, it's like he's a puncher. Mayweather's never really been in with a puncher like that. Yeah, he's a puncher for the UFC. Is McGregor a puncher at the professional boxing level? Most people don't think so. Now, here's how you know for sure, though, that it's likely not to go the distance and McGregor win, is right now you can bet McGregor wins by decision. It's a specific outcome, right?
Right.
If he knocks him out, you don't win. Wins by decision, you do. 25-1. So it is. If you actually look at the chance of McGregor winning at all, as we talked about, it was right around 5-1, right? -650, +500 right. on mm-hmm. McGregor. So the odds of him winning by a decision, McGregor, is almost nil.
Okay. Last question for you, RJ, and that is, like everybody else, I'm going to put down my money for this fight. Am I going to regret it, or am I going to be satisfied at the end of the evening?
Can I answer? Can I answer?
Sure,
go ahead. Oh, you're going to be so miserable, and so am I. This is going to suck.
We're all going to buy it.
Yes.
We're all going to hate it,
yes.
RJ?
Here's the thing. Yes. Imagine get a nice hamburger, get your knife and fork out.
Oh, how dare you. There you go. Now we're talking.
How dare you.
It's going to be a big – and all joking aside, it's the spectacle. Because let's be candid, guys, is if you love boxing, if you're an aficionado, if you're a purist, well, you're watching the Showtime or the HBO Friday night special that's not on pay-per-view. I'm guessing none of us are watching that, right? So who is the incremental fan? Who's getting involved in a fight that doesn't get involved in those hardcore, you know, very aficionado-driven fights? It's the people that want the spectacle.
Yeah.
So to be honest, I think the odds against a great fight are, you know, against it. But I also think it's going to be a spectacle unlike, quite frankly, something we've ever seen. And I can promise you I am going to be down there that night.
Of course. And this just reminds me so much of the old celebrity boxing show. This is Manute Bol versus the fridge. I mean, that's what we're looking at.
Except, I'd watch that too.
Except you have a guy that could go 50. I mean, Mayweather, I know we got to run, but Mayweather, he's got a lot of history, right? Let's forget the baggage for a moment and say he's probably the smartest businessman ever to box. Imagine, what's the two things he was thinking about in this fight? One of them is, I don't want to lose. I want to go 50-0.
Right.
The other is, I want to make the most money in my last fight.
Sure.
This fight allows him to do both. It's really brilliant when it comes to that.
Go to pregame.com for more on the fight and so much more in the wonderful world of sports. You can follow our friend RJ on Twitter at RJ in Vegas. Let him know how you do. And pregame.com again is the site. RJ, always great to catch up with you, my friend. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
Grotesque monstrosity.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show.
Born of relentless inbreeding. Chronically flatulent.
K-Rock.
I have a question.
Yes, Bean, you have the floor.
Friday night, we did the K-Rock night at the Galaxy game, and you
Saturday
were out there.
Saturday night, yes.
Saturday, excuse me, my bad. You were out there at StubHub Center with the fans, with a lot of winners.
Yep.
And from the pictures that I have seen of the event, it seemed like every third person was wearing your face on a T-shirt.
Well,
what was that like for you,
the
Kevin?
The Quitters Never Give Up shirts, apparently. Lightning, who runs Long Beach Clothing, who was sending them out, he sent me a picture last, I think, Wednesday, Thursday, of just boxes full of shirts that were going out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was thinking, I wonder when they're going to hit. I wonder when the first ones are going to hit. Well, they hit about Saturday noon.
Okay.
So everybody coming to the game showed up in the Quitters Never Give Up shirt.
It was unbelievable. It was like it was a uniform. I couldn't believe how many there were there.
Which has my stupid face on it.
Well, at least you're not Kevining.
From the Kevining photo, oh. That's the actual picture. And then people would want to take pictures, and then they would Kevin. So it was like it all came back around, and I was like, great, so happy that these all hit today. They couldn't have hit yesterday. They couldn't have come Sunday.
Well, no, right. Mail on Sunday.
Monday, today?
Sure.
They had to come Saturday?
Yep, sure did.
So your point is, how did Kevining come back? Because you finally got out from under that rock.
Hasn't
and now
it been
it's
5 years?
Again. It has been.
How
yeah.
long has it been since yeah. Kevining?
So it's got to be, yeah.
yeah.
And you know who put that picture on there? Stupid Paul Lee, who's doing our graphics. He put my picture
really?
On there.
He chose that photo?
Yeah, it's the same photo that Dave gives me on my ID card. It won't go away.
Well, it was the right choice.
But it needs to go away.
Nah.
I mean, we've all seen it.
No.
Right?
I do feel bad now that these T-shirts are out there because they're awesome, by the way. And we're getting a lot of compliments about their – it's a really nice quality shirt, and the delivery was super fast. And Kevin, by the way, included a nice personal note to everybody to thank them for buying the T-shirt because of some of the proceeds go to the charity, the Friends and Helpers charity.
Right.
So people are very satisfied with their purchase. But I feel bad because now that all these – and these pictures are all over the K-Rock and Kevin and Bean social media right now, I bet there are a lot of people now who wish they had gotten in on it because they're – awesome, you know?
Well, we're going to do another limited release T-shirt soon.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'd like to suggest Smell It with Allie's face.
No.
I'd like to suggest that.
I don't think so. I think This Was a Success should be the next one. Right?
Okay.
I mean,
that's a good one.
I'd be fine with that.
That is half glass full, Allie.
Half
I got to be honest.
Half glass full?
I mean, another great one? They don't all need to focus on me, though, is what I'm saying.
Well, This Was a success, wasn't it?
Right. That's the whole show.
Yeah.
All right. You know, maybe Bean eating a hamburger with a knife and fork.
And Daddy Likey.
Daddy Likey.
Oh, God. With a knife and fork to eat the burger.
I'm terrified what the actual graphic would be for Daddy Likey.
Come on now.
Well, listen, we did it as a 24-hour limited edition T-shirt, and I think this was a success, but I do want to once again thank everybody for buying it. I mean, we were overwhelmed by how many people bought the T-shirt.
Yeah, it was crazy.
And we also did want to come on the air and say that they have all been sent out as of Friday. Friday was the and I got to give it up for Lightning and Long Beach Clothing Company and his whole team because they worked so hard because they were, you know, we were overwhelmed by how many orders they got. I mean, they brought in extra people and just worked almost, I think, till midnight on Wednesday and Thursday night getting these things packed up so they could all be shipped out on Friday.
I'd have been fine if they took a little more time.
I know you would. I know you would. But do us this favor, if you would, when you get your Quitters Never Give Up T-shirt, please send us a photo. We'd love to get a picture.
I mean, feel like you have to, though.
We're putting galleries together and we're putting them all up.
I don't want you to feel like there's any pressure for
it's fun to see our fans, though, right. And see how much they're enjoying right. Kevining in 2017.
Right. Yeah, that's my point. Is I feel like we've been there and done that.
Uh-huh.
And we're all good.
So go ahead and send those photos to you in your T-shirt, and thanks.
Right.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show.
They're all losers. I hate these guys.
K-Rock, L.A. and O.C.'s alternative rock.
Ralph did a story last week that I thought was fascinating in that Gene Simmons, the demon himself from the band Kiss, is attempting to trademark the rock and roll horns gesture that we have seen him and, to be fair, 10,000 other musicians do over the last 50 years.
But why do you think he's doing this now?
That's a great question. We'll ask him in a second. He says that he came up with it and used it on November 14th, 1974 on Kiss's Hotter Than Hell tour.
How does he have a date?
Yeah, that's odd.
That he knows in 1974 he did it.
Look, if you're just going to ask nothing but questions, we might as well get Gene Simmons on the phone because I bet he's got all the answers. He usually has an idea of what he's talking about. Mr. Simmons, welcome back to K-Rock, sir. How are you?
You know, it's always a pleasure to talk to you handsome and powerful men. And, of course, it's
a big pleasure to talk to Allie. Allie, are you there?
Oh, hi, Gene.
You know, speaking of Allie, you have a meat Allie that I'd be really interested in investigating.
All right, let's talk about the thing.
Kevin asked more work into the first one. The very first one, right? Right? I'm not asking too much.
Do you want to hang up and restart this phone call?
I don't think that's necessary. But what about Kevin's question, which is how do you know down to
you mean Kevin's question about the qualifying prize? I don't know the answer.
No, about the date and year of when you first threw the rock and roll hand gesture.
Well, I'm glad you asked that, Bean. I remember it was 1974, and I was on tour, and I was backstage, actually, for the Hotter Than Hell tour. I was with Geddy Lee and Neil Diamond, and we were having a conversation, and we said, you know, when we're on stage, we should really have some type of hand signal to represent how we feel, because obviously it's so loud, it's hotter than hell, people can't hear what we're saying. So I came up with that sign, and, you know, people have been using it and abusing it for far too long.
Well, what did you mean when you came up with it?
It meant a lot of things. First, it meant that girl in the third row, aisle E, she should meet me backstage so Gene can give her the best 40 minutes of her life.
Okay,
and
I see. All right.
That got bastardized into, you know, rock and roll and Satan and all these things, which, of course, I'm not, you know, willing to represent. I don't put any faith into evil. I don't think it should stop there. I mean, I feel like sign language has been distorted for far too long. I am trademarking sign language.
I don't think you can do that.
Sign language. You didn't invent sign language.
I sure did. It was the
you invented sign language?
No. Yes, I was with Mark Knopfler. We were having lunch at Jerry's Deli in 1973. And what people had done before that, Helen Keller and the like, they were just, you know, pretty much bumping their fists together. It wasn't really modern sign language. I invented that right there in that deli.
I don't think that's true at all. I don't think you can back that up
true.
At all.
It is.
While I have you guys on the phone, I want to let the public know I'm trademarking hydrogen.
Hydrogen.
But hydrogen, you didn't, I mean, that is created by nature. It's been around for as long as the world has been around.
So you say. But I will be charging people anytime they use that element. The name Bob, now trademarked by
the name Bob.
Yes,
that's right.
You can't just make...
Or Robert or Bobby, any derivative of.
Right, but what about all the people with that name who existed before you were even born, Gene?
I guess they're going to owe me money in retrograde.
And it don't work that way.
Retrograde?
Interest is a bitch. That's right. You know, mammals. I'm trademarking mammals.
Mammals.
Yes. There's far too many, you know, mammals on Earth that aren't paying Gene Simmons.
Okay.
Gene, haven't you already made all the money in the world with your little band Kiss? Like, why this desperate grab for cash?
You know, a lot of people say that the band Kiss sold out.
Right.
And I like to say we sell out every arena we play in. Did you guys urinate this morning?
What?
Yes.
I trademarked urination, so you're going to owe me $75.
Every time we pee, we have to pay you?
You're goddamn right.
Wow.
That's...
I came up with urination in 1964. I was with Benjamin Netanyahu at the Hebrew school.
All right, that's great.
Speaking of that, I invented Judaism, so I'm going to trademark that. If you have any practicing Jews out there, you owe me money.
That's not the case. That's
thousands
absurd.
Of years before you were born.
You're just talking nonsense.
No, that's not true at all. Okay. I remember I was singing Calling Dr. Love, and Sandy Koufax and Moses were right there in the crowd.
Is that right?
Sure enough, I brought them backstage, and right there in front of everybody, I, you know, scribbled it out.
I feel like Gene's gone bye-bye, you guys.
Yeah.
You've gone bye-bye, really?
I mean, can I not say that?
Sort of sounds like it.
You sound right. a little nuts right now, Gene.
I got to be honest. I was going to make another sexual pun, but it was way grosser than the one I started off with.
Really?
So right. I'm reluctant.
Best to just say goodbye now, then, I guess.
I kind of want to hear it. I'm in.
You're so dumb.
I was going to say I invented tulips, you know, the flower tulip.
Uh-huh.
Well... Allie, you've got two lips I'm interested in checking out.
Okay.
Should I hold that one back?
No.
I think your best instinct was, yeah. Oh, really? Allie's in. All right, Gene. She'll meet you after the show.
The Kevin and Bean Show.
That's dumb.
You're dumb.
Your face is dumb.
LA and OC's alternative rock.
K-Rock.
And now, a moment with Bean.
We want to hear your story. Anna, you are, what's your deal? Where do you live? What do you do? What's your deal?
That was a moment with Bean.
Man, that never gets old.
Right?
Mm-mm.
She didn't love that question either, by the way.
She didn't. She shouldn't reaction. Have.
She had a point. She said, I just want to ask for a song. I just texted a song title in.
I have to give you my whole life story?
I don't have to answer the census.
Why the third degree? Hey, it's 9:39. Ralph is here. Time for our final look at the showbiz beat. What's going on?
It's a Monday. That means we look at the top 10 movies at the box office. A lot of people went to see Cars 3 this weekend. Enough to give it $53.5 million at the box office. Making it number one and giving it enough ammunition to knock off Wonder Woman from the top of the mountain. However, she didn't fall that far. Still at number two with $40.8 million. All Eyes on Me, the new Tupac Shakur movie, despite a drubbing from critics and some complaints from people who are actually featured in the film, like Jada Pinkett Smith, people still showed up. $27 million made it number three. The Mummy, 47 meters down. Were your top five films? Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men Tell No Tales at six. Rough Night, Scarlett Johansson's new comedy, debuted with just $8 million.
Sounds like that had a rough weekend.
Oh, my God.
Really?
Bean.
Come on, man.
Just saying, a lot of people didn't go.
But come on.
Captain Underpants was eight. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 was nine. And It Comes at Night at number 10.
We got it, Ralph.
What are you talking about, Allie?
We
I'm just
saw
to do
what
a list
you
of,
did.
I'm doing a list of movie titles
with
here.
With your hand motions.
I don't know what.
It is disgusting.
Why don't you go track a puppy coat,
Cookie?
This is sad news. The L.A. County Coroner's Office finally released its autopsy of Carrie Fisher. And her cause of death, well, it was a combination of things, according to the coroner's office. Sleep apnea. She had arteriosclerosis. That's hardening of the arteries. So heart disease. But also drug use found in her system when she became ill on that flight in December. Amongst the drugs in her system, cocaine, heroin, and ecstasy.
Oh, man.
Wow.
So,
wow.
Now we know it was not just ill health that contributed to her death, but
wow,
some serious drug use there as well. Carrie's daughter, Billy Lord, kind of chimed in and said, "My mom battled drug addiction and mental illness her entire life and eventually died of it." Her brother Todd, Carrie's brother Todd, also spoke out, saying, "It revealed nothing that anyone who was familiar with Carrie didn't know already."
So did you guys know that she was still on a lot of drugs?
I knew she was having trouble staying on the wagon, but I didn't know it was that bad. And listen, if you abuse your body and drugs for long enough, your body will lose that fight. It just cannot cope. It cannot handle the stress and strain that's created by many of those drugs, specifically cocaine and heroin in combination. It's deadly.
Yeah.
So
that's sad. Sad news.
That is sad news. Sadder news. Bill Cosby's still alive. And the case is over, at least for now. The judge announced a mistrial on Saturday morning after the jurors announced they couldn't come to a verdict in the case and were deadlocked on all counts. 79-year-old Cosby was charged with three counts of aggravated indecent assault on 44-year-old Andrea Constant.
And you're saying that they could have convicted her on one, but
they could have convicted him. Any one of three.
Yeah.
But they couldn't come to a consensus on any of the counts because apparently some of them are dumbasses. That's the only problem when you have a jury of people is that the jury is filled with people.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, Ralph, when
juries
you
are
say,
the worst, Bean. You agree with that, right? Juries
when you
are the worst.
Say that, do you wish we had professional jurors where that's what people's jobs was?
More
to
and more I do.
Rule according to law?
Yeah, more and more I do. Because if you've ever spent a day at jury duty and you look around that room, like I wouldn't want to be judged by most of these people. I'd like someone with some sense. It's terrifying.
It is terrifying to see that room. So do you think the framers were wrong then, thinking that fellow citizens would have the judgment to make the right call?
I think citizens were different then, back in the day. I think it was a small country and not a lot of people and not a lot going on. And the probably percentage of dumbassdom was lesser.
So I think maybe we've graduated out of that system. Maybe
pre Instagram, pre Kardashian, people had other things to think about.
Yeah, pre dumbass,
right,
and pre indecency. So I think maybe it's time. Maybe it's time. I don't know. What do you think?
I think you could be right. I mean, that would be a fundamental change in America. That's the way we've always done it. And, you know, people think you're entitled to a jury of your peers, but increasingly nobody
fine
seems
peer.
To. Well, that's the thing. It's what's your definition, right?
Right. Look, maybe we need to just to hone the definition. We hone the definition of peer.
Bean hasn't been picked. I think that's good.
See?
The system's doing its job.
Peerless. Right. He is peerless.
Right.
I would be a fan.
So he should not
juror.
Be on a jury.
He is without peer.
And that's
what
working.
Saying.
So.
I would actually, see, Bean, I think, would be a great juror.
Yeah, no feelings.
No human emotions yeah. whatsoever.
Totally.
Thank you, Ralph.
No
yeah.
heart.
Yep.
No emotions. No
I
empathy,
like following the
no
rules.
Sympathy,
yep.
a lot of rule following.
Yeah.
Likes facts and figures
but he'd
and
have
maps.
To, he'd have to sit in a room with people, though, and talk.
I mean, I would have a camera in the courtroom,
see.
But I would
right.
weigh in remotely. I would be in my home.
I got
Bean would be a juror on an island. Jury Island. My new series coming to CBS this
like
fall.
It.
I hope you'll all tune in.
Well, the system's not working if Bill Cosby's not in jail. That much we can
right?
all agree on.
That's I think that's the fundamental point. Is he just
right.
he just knows some things. All right, let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Macklemore. Right?
Right?
Macklemore? How about Mackleless? That's what I say.
Right. Really? Anyone heard his new song that came out Friday?
No, I just told you I'm all about Mackleless. So
okay,
why
right.
would you think?
It's called Glorious. I haven't heard it yet, but
he is 34 years old today. Zoe Saldana is 39. Paula Abdul's 55. Paula Abdul's a gift. Let's not ever forget that. Okay, she's a damn gift.
I'm tired of people not treating me like the gift that I am. It's hurtful and it stinks. And it takes everything out of me to smile and be jovial when I'm being screwed.
Yeah.
Right?
Did Bill Cosby fix her a drink before that interview?
Sounds like it. By the way, nobody seems to be trying to get her back on American Idol, the reboot.
They don't seem...
Not right. hearing that phone
nope.
call being made.
They seem okay.
Going after like Lionel Richie and people like that, right?
Right. Is there anyone we haven't seen before on American Idol? Could we have them come in?
Poppy Montgomery's 42 years old today. Robin Tunney is 45. Kathleen Turner is 63. Vanessa Martinez is 38 years old. Hugh Dancy, one of the best dancers, I think, in
he's
the country
not,
right now.
Not a dancer. He's an actor.
No, that would be Hugh Acty you're thinking of. Hugh Acty
what
is the actor.
Has happened to
right?
you?
Hugh Dancy is the dancer.
This is...
Felicia Rashad is 69 years old.
Put today. Her in jail, too, while we're at it.
Speaking of Felicia Rashad, did not know this. Just found out. You watch Billions, don't you, Kevin? No, you're
love
a few episodes
it. Few episodes behind.
Yeah.
I do. I watch it.
Billions, on the television show Billions, the very lovely and attractive prosecuting attorney for the New York State.
Yeah.
That's,
she's great.
That's Felicia Rashad's daughter.
No idea.
See? There you go. A little piece of trivia. 69 years old today. Yeah, she's a great actress, too. Very talented. She is the product of Felicia Rashad and... Ahmad Rashad.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Debbie Allen's sister-in-law.
Yes.
Sister.
I want to say yes to all those things.
Okay.
Mia Sara. Remember her as Sloane from Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Do you have a kiss for Debbie? Remember he shows up in the car with the jacket and the hat and the glasses?
Yep.
Picking her up at school? She runs down there and gives him a big kiss? Rooney's like, oh, so that's how it is.
That's how it is in that family.
Yeah.
I bought a pair of boots to wear with shorts and a jacket with fringe
did
so
you?
I could look like her.
How much did you look
did
like her?
Did not pull it off.
Hmm.
No.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Right.
She was the best.
It's a great story, though.
Hey, thank you.
So keep
glad
that
I
one.
Saved it for the 9.
And Lara Spencer. Lara Spencer's 48 years old. Lara. Ask Hartman. He'll tell you. He'll tell you how old she is. Lara. Lara?
Nope. It's not in
are
here.
We out of ice? I can make a cocktail. Ask Hartman. He'll tell you. Lara?
Stop
where's Lara?
It.
Stop it.
I'm Rob Garlow. I walk the showbiz beat.
The SoCal Helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness. We all win with a commercial-free drive home at 5 p.m. today on K-Rock. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. We got your tickets for WWE Raw, also the K-Rock Advanced screening of The House. We're going to have some great guests and some comedy. Mm. And we're going to do some things that you're going to like.
A lot of promises you're making.
Tomorrow morning.
It smells funny in here.
The Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
LA and OC's alternative rock.
K-R-O-Q. K-Rock.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.